Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Lila.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Narayana Namaskritya.
Господем убили.
Нашпрайшамадрешу.
Нитям Бхагавата Севая.
Нитям Бхагавата Севая.
Бхагавати Уттама Шлоке.
Бхагавати Уттама Шлоке.
Бхактир Бхагавати Найшути.
Бхактир Бхагавати Найшути.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 6, The Downfall of Saubhari Muni. Text 54, also 52, 53, this has been read already. 52 and 53, just a translation. So text 52 and 53, I'll just read the translations and then we'll chant text 54. Translations and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Text 52. This is Saubhari Muni speaking. In the beginning, I was alone and engaged in performing the austerities of mystic yoga. But later, because of the association of fish engaged in sex, I desired to marry. Then I became the husband of 50 wives, and in each of them I begot 100 sons, and thus my family increased to 5,000 members. By the influence of the modes of material nature, I became fallen and thought that I would be happy in material life. Thus, there is no end to my material desires for enjoyment in this life and the next. Text 53, translation. In this way, he passed his life in household affairs for some time, but then he became detached from material enjoyment. To renounce material association, he accepted the Vanaprastha order and went to the forest. His devoted wives followed him, for they had no shelter other than their husband. Now text 54. So we chant. Tatra
Tatra
Tattva
Tattva
Tapaha Tishnam
Tishnam
Atmadarshanam
Atmadarshanam
Atmava
Atmava
Saha
Eva
Eva
Agnidhi
Agnidhi
Atmanam
Atmanam
Yuyoja
Yuyoja
Paramatmani
Paramatmani
Tatra
tattva tapastiksham
Tatra tattva tapastiksham
Atma darshanam atmavan
Atma darshanam atmavan
Sahivagnidhir atmanam
Sahivagnidhir atmanam
Yuyoja paramatmani
Yuyoja paramatmani
Tatra tattva tapastiksham
Tatra tattva tapastiksham
Atma darshanam atmavan
Atma darshanam atmavan
Sahivagnidhir atmanam
Sahivagnidhir atmanam
Yuyoja paramatmani
Yuyoja paramatmani
Mataji, ladies. permission of His Holiness Chidananda Goswami, and I intend to speak a few words. I wish he could have been sitting here, and myself was
there yesterday.
I'm here attempting to speak a few words. So the topic currently going on in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the fall down and subsequent repentance of Saupadi Muni. And the current verse we are reading about how he ultimately remembered his previous austerities and perfected his life. Once a person has tasted the happiness of renunciation, the happiness of freedom from material bondage and material sense gratification, he or she can never forget it. Sometime, somewhere, due to some mistake, some negligence, one may have left the path of renunciation for some time only to come back. Because one cannot sustain, having experienced the higher taste, one cannot now endure the so-called pleasures of material life. And sooner or later, one comes back to one's original position of austerity and service to the Supreme Lord. This happens time and time again. And for devotees, also it is seen, it happens. Devotees come to this path, they are very sincere, very determined, and somehow, by the influence of the illusory potency of the Lord, some they become distracted by the temptations of this world, fall victim to these temptations, and then perhaps leave the path for a while. And then when they have seen the full form of the illusory energy, and they've suffered sufficiently, then they come back. Actually, that suffering that takes place is directly Krishna's mercy. And in order that we may leave some scope for Krishna to pull us back, we keep our shikha. The shikha is there because in case we stray, Krishna can catch it and say, "Where are you going? You're leaving my lotus feet? Come right back here." And catches us and pulls us back and dunks us at his lotus feet. That's why we keep the shikha, by the way. So Saupadi Muni now went back to a life of renunciation. He went into the forest, Vanaprastha Ashram. As the word Vanaprastha has two parts, Van and Prasthan. Van means forest, Prasthan means to go into. So in Vanaprastha life, the modern day equivalent of which is retired life, one goes into the forest to perform austerities. Saupadi Muni did that, and he already had a taste for it from his previous austerity, so it was not so difficult for him now. And he subsequently perfected his life. That's what has been described here. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that at the time of death, the fire burns the gross body, but there is still a subtle body left. And the subtle body takes us to the next gross body. And it's only when one has become completely purified of all material desires is the subtle body also destroyed. And then all that remains is a pure soul. And this pure soul is now eligible to return to the spiritual world, which is its real home, which is our real home. So we are all headed back there. That's our ultimate destination. But so long as our consciousness remains entangled to a lesser or greater degree in this world, we will not be able to do that. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is explained, Sri Sri Radha Vandaneshwar Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nithani Ki Jai. That the soul is eternal, and the consciousness of the soul, therefore, is also eternal. Avinashi Dukta Dukti Yena Sarvam Idam Tatam Vinasham Abhijasyasya Nakashchit Kartum Arhati. This is one of the very fundamental, basic verses of the Gita, in which we are told that the soul is eternal and the consciousness is the eternal quality or characteristic of the soul. The consciousness, as a result, can never be destroyed. It always remains. When the soul is in its pure state, the consciousness is also pure, like rainwater when it falls from the clouds. So Srila Prabhupada explains that when this rainwater comes and falls on the ground, then it becomes muddy, and the water acquires the color of the mud or the substance in contact with which it comes. In the same way, the material world is like a pollutant, an adulterant. It adulterates the pure consciousness of the soul the moment the soul comes in contact with it. The soul actually has nothing to do with this material world. The soul is actually pure, but somehow coming under the influence of the material energy, the soul imagines itself to be a product of this material nature. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam tribunatmakam paropi mante nartam yasritam chabipatyate. So says the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, the soul is very pure, but somehow it comes under bewilderment, sammoha. Yaya sammohito jiva, the atma or the jiva, becomes bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. Atmanam tribunatmakam, by the three gunas, by the three modes of material nature. Paraha api, although the soul is transcendental, anartham, still it identifies itself with the nature, material nature, and thinks, I am matter. In other words, I am this body. And this is the pollution or the adulteration of this consciousness. In this way, repeatedly, the soul that is entangled in the cycle of birth and death adulterates his consciousness again and again and yet again. And depending on the quality of this adulteration, the nature of this adulteration, one acquires a different kind of cross body. Just like the rainwater, if you take that and then mix some red color dye, and then after that add some blue color dye, after that adds a yellow colored dye, and keep on adding different colors into the water, it keeps acquiring different colors. The next combination is something that you have all variety of combinations of colors. In the same way, there are different varieties of material desires possible. There are different ways we can, creative ways we can forget Krishna. And the conditioned soul has become expert at finding new ways of forgetting Krishna. And depending on the types of forgetfulness of Krishna, we have different colors, so to speak, that pollute that pure consciousness. And therefore we have different gross bodies. Why do we have different species of life? The Puranas explain that there are 8.4 million species of life. Why is there such a variation? Why don't we have just all human beings, or all animals, or all of one species? What is the need for having all these different varieties? The answer is that these different species represent different cross bodies, which in turn represent different subtle bodies, which in turn represent different kinds of material desires, which represent in turn different kinds of adulteration of the pure consciousness of the soul. So because there are innumerable material desires and innumerable ways to pollute the pure consciousness, so you have all these different bodies to choose and pick from. So this material world is like one big shopping mall, super bazaar. In the Bhagavad Gita, this material body has been compared to a dress. Vasam sijivinani yathavihaya navani grihnati naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jivinani anyami samyati navani dehi. Lord Krishna says in the Gita that just as we give up one set of clothes and then wear another set of fresh clothes, similarly, the soul or the Atma gives up one body when this cross body is not suitable anymore, and then it accepts another cross body. And this process goes on repeating endlessly till we make some stop to this. So the body, the cross body, is like a dress. And the subtle body is like the inner clothing that we wear. So imagine that you're going into a shop that is selling a variety of dresses or clothes. And there's a mind-boggling variety. There's some that suits a poor pocket like mine. And there may be some that suits a deep pocket like somebody else's maybe. And also, according to taste, there's different colors and different styles and different fashions, different materials. So the combination and the variety of clothes you will find in a big clothing shop is vast. And according to your choice and according to your pocket, you will select a kind of cloth or a dress. Similarly, the kind of possibilities of desires in this world is mind-boggling. According to the living entity's choice, it selects a particular kind of adulteration and tries to be in a certain kind of consciousness because that's how he or she feels he can be happy. And also according to one's pocket, one is given a certain body, one purchases a certain body. When you go into a cloth shop, the purchasing price is in terms of pounds and shillings. But when you have to buy a body, then what is the price you pay for it? Your karma. Your karma is the price with which you purchase, the money with which you purchase your next body. So take your pick. It's a wide choice. And therefore you have the 8.4 million varieties of clothes of clothes here in this super bazaar of the material world. And everyone has their choice. So this way, we get different bodies in this world. Each body is meant for a certain kind of pleasure that is not so freely available in other forms of life, in other species. For example, if someone likes to eat meat, then why not get a tiger's body? Because in a tiger's body, you can eat meat much better. The dental structure, the digestive structure of the animal is far more suited to eating meat than is the human system. So if really that's what we want, that's not really an optimal utilization of nature's resources to get a human body to eat meat. So then nature gives us a tiger's body. Suppose someone loves to be in the water and swim and swim and swim, practicing hours and hours together to get that Olympic gold medal in swimming, spending 6 hours every day in the water to just swim better than others. Then why use the human body for that? You can get a fish body. So it's just suitable for swimming. And you don't have to worry about how long you'll stay under the water. You can stay as long as you like. Similarly, you can consider every possible desire that is there in our mind now, good and bad, As you will see by studying these different species of life, that they all present opportunities for fulfilling different types of desires. If someone likes to sleep hours and hours today, 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours. And when you travel in trains, I don't know here, but in India, when you travel in trains, sometimes you have a long journey. And you go on a train journey that's 35 hours, 40 hours. And personally, I have seen people who sleep right through. In one case, I remember I was so anxious, I thought he must have died or something. Because once the train started, he went to sleep, and he didn't wake up till practically almost near our destination. They just want to sleep and sleep. So why use the human body for that? The bear can hibernate for 6 months. We sleep for 6 months peacefully without any problem. So this way, these different grasping bodies are just means for fulfilling certain material desires that the living entity has. And once the living entity develops these desires and acts according to that, the subtle body develops further. And in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that with every action we do, with every thought that we have, with every word that we speak, we're actually developing our subtle body in such a way that it prepares a crust body for the future. So when we are about to die, the subtle body has already prepared for itself a crust body to live in. And it is said in some of the Upanishads that actually a person who is dying, a sinful person, can actually get a glimpse of his future body. If he is destined to be in the body of a hog, he can actually see the subtle form of a hog and he gets terrified. So therefore the subtle body is what determines the gross body in the next life. And what is the subtle body? What is it made up of? It's made up of our material desires. It's a bundle of desires. That's what the subtle body is. And it doesn't diminish its age. And is a popular misconception. People think that if I just let age go on, then one day I'll become free of all these desires and then I'll take to Krishna consciousness. It doesn't work like that. Right till old age, till the point of death, these material desires do not leave us. There is a verse said by one saintly person. It says, Galitam mundam, palitam mundam, dashana vihinam jatam tundam, vritthu yati krihipa dandam, tadpinam unchatya shapindam. The meaning of this verse is a Sanskrit verse which means, there goes that old man walking, carrying a walking stick, hobbling. His teeth have fallen out, his hair has turned gray, and he can't eat anymore, but he's still a bundle of desires. Asha pindam, like a bundle of desires. The desires don't go away, they are there. And therefore these desires then mold the subtle body, which in turn molds the next cross body. So Lord Krishna explains that according to the condition of the subtle body at the time of death, which means the state of consciousness that we have cultivated by our thoughts, words and deeds in this life, that consciousness then determines our next life. Yam yam bhavi smaran bhavam tajat chanti kale varam tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tat bhava bhavitaha. Krishna says, according whatever the state of consciousness we have at the time of death, that state of body we will attain in the next life. We cannot suddenly develop a spiritual consciousness at the end. We have to practice it all through our life. Inasmuch as a student cannot, 1 hour before an examination, open the book, find out what the subject is, open the book and hope to pass in flying colors. It's not possible. If right through the year the student has never opened the book and has no idea of the subject. And just an hour before, he wants to open the book and understand the subject. How is it possible? Similarly, for a person who has never practiced spiritual life right through, how can he or she, at the time of death, suddenly hope to become Krishna conscious? And in any case, we never know when death is going to come. It's like a surprise test. At least if there's a regular exam in a school or a college, the student has time to prepare. But if it's a surprise test, the student has no time. Death is like a surprise test. There will be very few who are like Parikshit Maharaj who have a notice that they will die in 7 days or a certain number of days. Ultimately, we all have received the notice. Jatasihi drohom riskim drohom janmam ritasya. When did we all receive the notice? At the time of birth. The fact that we are born, the moment of birth, we are given a notice. You are destined for death. But we prefer to ignore that. We prefer to not consider that. And we think that we are going to live forever. So Chanakya Pandit says that if you want to be materially successful, think that you will never die. And if you want to be spiritually successful, then think that you will die at the next moment. And the fact is that we may die at the next moment. Can anyone say with guarantee that they will be here tomorrow morning for the Srimad Bhagavatam class? Or that we will be alive to be here tomorrow? Death can come any time. So therefore, the scriptures say that we have to practice developing our consciousness by training ourselves to focus on the right desires. The process of chanting the holy names of Krishna, by coming to the temple, taking darshan of the deities, hearing the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and by following all the other regulative principles, we actually train our mind, we train our consciousness, we purify it to prepare for the time of death. And by practicing remembrance of Krishna in this way, we are able to remember Krishna at the time of death. And then our subtle body, which is completely pure now, by remembrance of Krishna, will be left behind. There is no need now for another transmigration, for transfer to another cross body. And then we can move back to the spiritual world, go back to Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God, the destination that was achieved by Sarvabhauma Muni. So till such time as our consciousness is not pure, we have to accept another cross body, and another, and another. So the only process for achieving perfection in life is to purify the consciousness by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. Sarvabhauma Muni was very fortunate because he understood in time and he took the necessary steps for this purpose. For us as devotees, we are also so fortunate. We have access to the association of devotees. We have access to wonderful process of devotional service. It's so easy. It's so simple. Gone are the days when a spiritualist would have to retire into the forest like Sarvabhauma Muni did and perform severe austerities. We cannot do that in this age of Kali. So Krishna has made the process very easy for us. All we have to do is come regularly to the association of devotees. It is very essential to hear every day. This one organ a year is enough to take us back to Godhead. It's enough to make our life perfect. If we can simply just hear carefully. That is why Krishna has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we can hear more. Srila Prabhupada says that actually one has to learn to see God with the ears. People are more keen to see God with the eyes. Of course we do that because we have that desire. So Krishna makes himself available in the form of the deity Brahmaji says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shruta Ikshita. Ikshita means to see and Shruta means with the ears. So one must learn to see God with the ears. When we regularly hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then the real purification takes place. And it's very easy thereafter to go back to Godhead. There is a nice verse that Brahmaji says, Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvagvapurdev vidhan namaste jive piyo mukti pade sadayakar. He says, my dear Krishna, for those people who are surrendered at your lotus feet, who imagine or who understand or believe that all the suffering and discomfort that they are undergoing in their life is simply a reaction of their past bad karma, and who continue to serve you with their heart and soul, constantly, patiently waiting for your mercy, become actually inheritors of your kingdom. Inasmuch as a child becomes the inheritor of the parents' wealth automatically, simply by being alive, the child can inherit the property of the parent. Similarly, as devotees, all we have to do is to remain alive in Krishna consciousness. That is, we shouldn't leave the process. If we remain faithful to this process and just continue chanting Hare Krishna and being with the devotees, regardless of what ups and downs may come in our lives, then success is assured. We are assured of a place in the spiritual world. So by coming to Krishna's home regularly here to Radha Nandanishwar temple, we are assuring ourselves of a home up there in Goloka Vrindavan. We only have to do it regularly, that's all. Many times we seek new solutions. The problems are old, the solutions are also old. But these old solutions are ever fresh. Nitya Navanavayaman. So it's very blissful, the process of Krishna consciousness. So we don't have to undergo the long route that Saugari Muni went. We can take the shortcut back home, back to Godhead. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So thank you very much. We'll stop here. We have some time for questions. Then before yesterday, I could not leave time for questions yet.
Thank you, Bill. Speaking of this point about examination that you were saying, when I was at school, some people, they were really studying like anything, and when it, and me and some other people, we didn't study so much. And we, before exams, we cheated. So we write down, you know,
notes.
And during exams, the same teacher did not see it anyway. And these people who were studying like anything, some of them, and they didn't pass exams. And we, like at least myself, I don't know, maybe a few other people, we passed. So my question is...
The secret comes out now.
My question is it the same as be like in a spiritual life?
He's confessing to his crimes in front of the deity. Well, for one thing, one cannot cheat Krishna. One may cheat anyone else. Krishna is the biggest cheat. He can easily, and he will, actually. For those people who say that I will not practice any devotional service all my life, and just at the time of death I'll think of him and then go back to Godhead, Krishna will cheat us at the very last moment when we want to think of Krishna. He will divert our mind to something else. It's very easy. When Kumbhakarna performed austerity, you know Kumbhakarna, right? The younger brother of Ravan. And he was ferocious, he was huge and powerful, and he was a threat to all the demigods. And when the demigods saw that Kumbhakarna is performing austerities, they became terrified. They thought, now this is the end of us. So we really have to do something. So they hatched a plot. And then Brahma came. And Brahma's wife is Saraswati, who is the goddess of learning, the goddess of speech also. So, and then Brahma had to appear in front of Kumbhakarna because Kumbhakarna had done austerities to please him. The demigods are bound by the austerities of their worshippers. So he appeared. And Sannyas, so yes, so what do you want? What benediction do you want? And at that time, Mother Saraswati came on the tongue of Kumbhakarna and he spoke, I want to sleep. And immediately, without wasting any time, Brahmaji said, so be it, before he changed his mind. And after the benediction had been asked for and given, then Kumbhakarna realized, what have I said? But it was too late. So you see, Kumbhakarna was cheated. He was cheated because he wanted to cheat Brahma, and he wanted to overpower the demigods led by Brahma. But even the demigods cheated Kumbhakarna, so what to speak of Krishna? So we try to cheat Krishna, we want to bypass his process, then it's not possible. So we may cheat in a mundane examination, but we cannot cheat in the examination of death. It's not possible. Secondly, as far as some students having to work very hard and some students being able to pass with less effort, we also have to see that as devotees, we are coming to this path with sanskars, with impressions, and with devotional credits from previous lives as well. And there are some people for whom devotional service is a lot easier than it is for others. So that's because of the past credits. Someone who's done much more devotional service in the past and perhaps in this life as well, for such a devotee it's easier. For other devotees who may have a bigger baggage of karma with them, it will become a little more difficult. There will be a bigger struggle for them. But nevertheless, eventually, everyone will be successful. All those who endeavor sincerely in Krishna consciousness will attain success. Rest assured.
Because the end of this story was also because actually at the time I was doing devotional service, I just wanted to finish the school. I was interested more to do devotional service with devotees, and one of the reasons why I cheated because I didn't have interest. I just wanted to do devotional service, so maybe Krishna also sanctioned this cheating.
That Krishna knows.
The follow the Guru Parampara, the Srimad Bhagavatam says Narayana Namaskritya Naran Sainaratam Deyam Saraswati Vyasam. But in our worship, we don't worship that with the
Devi. In our worship, we don't worship Saraswati Devi. We worship her divine origin, ultimate origin, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the ultimate origin of all devis. So we worship her, and included in her worship is worship of everybody else. Yes?
At the time of sitting here, or at the time of day-to-day life, we are trying to chant the kind of Srila devotees, some Gunda, Krishna, every moment of our life. But the ultimate test would be remember Krishna and just the moment of death. The moment of death could be a very painful time. And if I remember correctly, it's ready to sing of 43,000 scorpions, or top of one scorpion by. So the question would be, when we have such acute crisis of pain, could we remember Krishna at that time? So how do we know that doing what we're doing now, are we prepared for that acute crisis event?
Yes, that is exactly what life is meant for, to prepare for that one critical moment. Because it's going to be troublesome. So King Kulashekhar has prayed, Krishna padiya padapangaja panjarantam adeva vishitume manasa raja hamsaha prana prayana samayeka pavata pittai kantha varodana sparanam vidaute. He says that now that my health is good, everything is fine, and I'm able to remember you, please take me away now. My mind is like a swan and the lotus feet are like the stems of a lotus. So let my mind be absorbed in that. Because at the time of death, then when the bile, mucus and phlegm will all accumulate in the throat and I will be in intense agony, how will I remember you at that time? So that is Kulashekhar's prayer. But if we practice intensely enough remembering Krishna throughout our life, then we will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death by Krishna's mercy. So we should be thoroughly dependent on Krishna and Krishna will do the needful. It's time now. We have to stop. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Say before when you start talking, Hare Krishna.